The title of the message today is Freedom from Bondage. Let me tell you the story. The 4th of July weekend was approaching, and there was this teacher, her name is Miss Phelim. She was a nursery school teacher, and she took the opportunity to tell her class about patriotism. And she said with gusto and with passion, she said, "We live in a great country," she announced. "One of the things we should be happy about is that in this country, we are all free." Then there was this little boy, his name is Trevor. And, you know, after that very passionate speech, the little boy came walking to her from the back of the room. He stood with his hands on his hips and said loudly, "Ma'am, I'm not free. I'm four." Yeah, thank you. You know, although this is a funny story to some, okay, in a spiritual sense, there is some truth to what this little boy said, especially in our society today. I'm not free. Some people have a form, or they look like they're free from the outside, just like what Pastor Fred, but inside, they're in bondage by something. A lot of people have the appearance of being free, but inside, they're in bondage by the negative and fearful thoughts caused by the uncertainties of life, insecurities that affect their self-worth and question their purpose, and the hurts and the pains in the past that was inflicted on them, whether verbally or physically, that has robbed them of the freedom to live their lives today. Someone once said that true freedom is not the ability or the freedom to do what you want, but the ability to do what you should. How may I say amen to that? And it is true. All of us know that if a person chooses to exercise his or her faith to do whatever they want, it will be just a matter of time that they will find themselves engaging in destructive habits like drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling, and for you wives out there, shopping, that robs them of their freedom to live a life filled with purpose and meaning. What they thought they have control of is now controlling them. The kind of freedom that God wants us to experience through His Son Jesus is freedom from the consequence of sin and death, which is separation from God, the effects of sin, which destroys people's lives, and the hold of sin, which I call addiction. They're bounded by these habits that is only destroying their lives. Amen? So that we can, you know, I believe with all my heart that as we continue to give our lives to Christ and know Him more and know His truth, that we will experience the freedom that He wants us to have. And let me just say this to you, Lord, as we discuss these things, the consequence of sin, the effects of sin, and the hold of sin, my prayer is that we will really experience the freedom that we can find in Christ Jesus. And let us now read the text for this morning found in John 8, verse 31-36. Let me read it for you. You can follow with your eyes. And if you have your Bibles, please open it because I'm going to ask you to highlight some stuff in there. But if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow on the screen. John 8, verse 31-36. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Amen. Let us bow down our heads and pray. Father, we thank You for this wonderful time. And as we read Your word, and as we discuss Your word, and as we learn from Your word, may You touch our hearts. May we learn to lean on You. May we learn from You. And may we live for You. We thank You for what You're going to do this morning. Open up our hearts and our minds that your word will penetrate deeply into our souls, that will bring change in our lives. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you read the scripture, Jesus said, and you will know the what? The truth. And the truth shall set you free. Let me give you the first point in your outline if you're following in your notes. In the middle of the bulletin. It says there, to know the truth is to, number one, believe in Jesus. I may say amen to that. That's the first thing. Believe in Jesus. Let me read to you verse 31 and 32 again. The reason why I'm reading this again and again, because I want this to stick into our heads. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves this morning is this. How do we know if Jesus is telling the truth? In other verses in the Gospels, not only did Jesus claim to know the truth or declare that everything he says is the truth, he also claimed that he is truth personified. When he said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you ask Christians in churches today, why do they believe that the Bible is true? Or if you ask them, what if Jesus said is the truth? I believe all of us can agree that the common answer that you will get from Christians is this, because I have faith. Right? If I hold the Bible in front of you right now and you say, like, why do you believe that this book is true? Most of you or most of us will say, because I have faith. Do you think that's the best answer or a good answer? You know, I don't think so. Especially in society nowadays. Amen? Does your faith change whether or not that the Bible is true? Does your faith change whether or not what Jesus said is true? In other words, you don't need to believe in something to make it true. For example, you don't need to believe in gravity to make it true. Whether you believe in gravity or not, it doesn't change the fact that when you jump off a 10-story building, you will surely fall to the ground. What I'm trying to say is this, that there are factual and historical evidence to the truth claims of Jesus that our faith is anchored on. Now, I'm listening to this one guy. His name is Frank Turek. I like how Frank Turek, a famous apologist, put it. He said that there are two kinds of faith. There is belief that and belief in. Belief that is getting or having evidence that God exists, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that the Bible is true. Belief that is intellectual. It is getting evidence. It's apologetics. But belief in is after you know that that is true, then you put your faith and trust in Jesus for your salvation. So therefore, Christianity is not really blind faith. There are factual and historical evidence to the truth claims of Jesus. How many say amen to that? Amen? You know, we can see this at work in John 20, verse 31, when the Bible tells us, but these are written, meaning the evidences of the works and the miracles of Christ, which is belief that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Belief in. This verse, we can see both belief that and belief in. So, what are some of the factual evidences that Jesus is telling the truth and nothing but the truth? For the sake of time, let me just highlight you some, okay? Number one, Jesus prophesied about his own suffering, death, and resurrection that actually came true, right? That's number one. There were over 500 eyewitnesses that saw the resurrected Christ ascended into the heavens. 500 eyewitnesses. That's not including the disciples. Then you have the disciples, 12 of them. Then you have James, the brother of Jesus. And then you have the apostle Paul. But to me, the most convincing evidence to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the testimony of the apostle Paul, who was the most unlikely person to believe in Jesus because at first he persecuted the Christians. But when he saw the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, he totally surrendered his life to him. From the persecutor of the church, he became one of the most influential individuals in Christian history. The reason why we have most of the books in the New Testament, it was written by him. Now that we have established some convincing evidence to the truth claims of Jesus, I'm going to go to my second point. To know the truth is also to abide in His Word. Amen? So what's the first one? To know the truth is to believe in Jesus. That's number one, right? Next is that to know the truth is also to abide in His Word. Again, let me read to you John 8, verse 31 to 32. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To hold on to Jesus' teachings or to abide in His Word is the key to fully experiencing the freedom that Jesus offers. How many say amen to that, right? There was a story about this pastor that he said that for many years that in the license plate that was stamped, the license plate of New Hampshire has a slogan. You know how license plate, they have a slogan, right? They do have, right? And for many years, the license plate of New Hampshire has the slogan made famous by a Revolutionary War general named John Stark that said, "Live free or die." The irony is that those great words were printed onto the license plate, check this out, by inmates in the state prison. Live free or die. Literally, they could not leave prison because they're in prison. Many of us today choose to stay in our prisons when we have the power to leave. We want to live free, but we do not want to do what the gospel says we need to do to be truly free. Amen. We have the power in Christ Jesus to break the chains that binds us so that we can live in the freedom that God wants us to live in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, there are a lot of reasons why people don't want to abide in God's Word. Let me mention to you some main ones. There's a lot, but let me mention to you some main ones, and I know you'll agree with me. These are some of the reasons why people don't want to abide in God's Word. Number one, pride. How many agree? Pride, right? We don't want to abide in His Word because we think that we know better than Him, or we think that our plans are much better than His. Number two reason, I believe, that the reason why a lot of people nowadays don't want to abide in God's Word is fear. We don't want to listen to God because we are afraid that if we ask God for what He wants, it will go against our own desires and dreams for our lives. Amen? You know, I have this, being a youth pastor, kids come up to me and ask me some questions and ask for advice. And one of these kids came up to me and told me, he's like, "Pastor Boyd, I don't know what to do. Can you please advise me? Can you help me out? I really don't know what to do and to make this decision and stuff like that." Usually me, when I give advice, I don't really tell them what to do. I just ask the right questions so that they can find out for themselves what they really want to do. And then I ask the question, "Did you pray about it?" And then he looked me straight in the face and said, "I haven't prayed about it, Pastor Boyd. So how come you don't want to pray about it?" And he looked me straight in the eye and he said to me, "The reason why I don't want to pray about it is because if God speaks to me about that situation, and if I don't want, if I'm hearing the things that I don't want to hear, then what will happen?" Sometimes we don't want to listen to God because we might hear something that will, He's going to ask us to do something that will go against what we really want. That's why a lot of people nowadays, they're not set free from bondages. And to tell you honestly, they're just one act of obedience away from being set free. So close, but yet so far away. Number three is deception. Some people are just simply deceived because they don't want to put the Bible as the final authority for their life and faith. These people put human reasoning above the counsel of God's Word. That is why their behavior or lifestyle goes against the knowledge of Christ, which only leads to mindsets and sinful, destructive habits that hinders them in fully experiencing the freedom that God wants them to experience. So what's our truth statement for this particular point? True followers of Jesus will continue to abide in His Word. Amen? Praise God. Second main point I want to share to you this morning is this one. To know the truth is to be set free from the bondage of sin. Let me read to you verse 32 to 36. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Knowing the truth will give us the freedom from, number one, the consequence of sin. Amen? If you read verse 33, you will notice the response of the Jews who chose not to believe in Jesus' word, but to remain in their spiritual blindness, citing that Abraham was their father and claimed that they are not bound by anything or anyone. To them, their religion, ethnicity, and family pedigree is what makes them acceptable to God. To this, Jesus responded by saying in verse 34 to 36, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is why Jesus said again in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus was basically saying to them, if you don't believe in me and abide in my words, you are still a slave to sin. So what kind of sin are they in bondage to, according to Jesus? To this, I call religious pride. Some of us have fallen in this category before. Amen. Being religious, having the form, but doesn't, you know, we have the form of being godly, but we are not really being transformed by God's word. How many were in that category before, right? They're the ones who believe that it is through their religion, performing their rituals or religious duties or good works that will make them acceptable to God. Instead of putting their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross when he died for our sins. You know, don't get me wrong, good works are good, but in the sight of God, it is not good enough. This is the reason why Jesus came down from heavenly glory, became a man, suffered the worst kind of suffering that we can ever think of to the very hands of the people that he was trying to save, so that he can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We can never save ourselves because we are sinful people. That's why, this is the reason why Jesus had to come down from heavenly glory. The sinless Son of God died for our sins. He took our place. That's how much he loves you. And imagine this. This is the people that he actually was dying for, was the very people that was punishing him, that crucified him on the cross. Because of Jesus, we have peace with God. Let me say amen to that. We have peace with God, and I call that salvation. We have peace with God through Jesus' sacrifice, death, and resurrection. Through Jesus, we are redeemed, reconciled, and restored. This is so beautiful. I thank God that I gave my life to Him, that He redeemed me from where I was before. Please don't ever think that your life is not valuable. Somebody redeemed you. Don't ever think that you are worthless. Someone died for you. And some of you in this place, especially nowadays, mental health is something that is common problem that young people go through, and even the older ones. So many suicides in the past months. Anthony Bourdain, you heard about what happened to him. And that other artist or designer that hanged herself. You see, these are reality that people are going through nowadays. And I believe that we have the message to set them free from the bondage of depression that can only be found in Christ Jesus. And if you are redeemed, then we are reconciled to Him. In other words, we are reconciled back to His family. And not only that, we are reconciled, we are restored. Let me say this to you. I cannot even believe that I'm here in front of you preaching God's word. If you knew me 20 or no, I'm 25, so 50, no, I'm just if you knew me, you know, years ago when I was not a Christian, and I've done some stupid decisions in my life that I now regret. And thinking about it, I never thought that my life will be restored to where it is today. And when I gave my life to Jesus, He restored me. I thought my life was a waste. But when you give your life to Christ, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, changing the way you think about yourself and the way you face your problems and your situations, He will give you the grace and the strength not only to, you know, to turn your life around, but you will find yourself being used by God in a mighty way, inspiring others to follow God with all their hearts. Amen? Knowing the truth will not only free us from the consequence of sin, it will also set us free from the effects of sin. Whether we like it or not, all of us are products of our past. Right? The mistakes that we have done or the mistakes that was done to us can have negative effects in how we view our self-worth or of others, and even affect the way we respond or react to life's challenges and problems. These are wounds that nobody sees from the outside because they are deeply embedded in the painful memories of the past. That even though it's not happening anymore, it still affects us today. It is our negative attitude in how we treat others, because hurting people hurt people. And it's shown in our sporadic and unreasonable decisions. Instead of thinking about it, we allow how we feel during that time to make the decisions for us. How many of us know in this place that making decisions based upon how you feel in that moment, most of the time, if not always, are decisions that are wrong? And we end up regretting it. How many say amen to that? Right? We are not meant to feel our way through situations. God has given us the brain to think about our situations. We are not meant to be controlled by our emotions. We need to control our emotions and submit it to the truth of God's word. And when that happens, you find yourself making rational, good decisions that will not only affect your life, but will also affect others. The problem with people like this is this. They make decisions based upon how they feel because of the pain that they go through in their lives. And it's understandable, right? But what they're not thinking is that it affects the people that is around them. Some people will say, well, I'm just doing this to myself. No, that's selfish thinking. Every decision that you make, it will not just affect you. It affects the people that is around you. And when we have that kind of mindset, you know, it will just ruin the relationships that is around us. Amen? And these are the effects of sin in a person's life. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not being judgmental or anything. Let me say this to you. And I think being a Christian and growing in the knowledge of God's word, reading His word, and hanging out with other people who know God, I think you grow in understanding, right? You grow in love. You know, sometimes I go through the McDonald's place to buy some, you know, healthy stuff. And every time that I go there, you know, you'll get a person, the cashier, who's, you know, they look at you, you know, and they're mad. And to me, you know, before when I was a younger believer in Christ, I would get mad at them too. So like, wait a minute, I'm paying you. Why are you so mad? You know, and they, you know, you smile at them and they frown at you. And as you grow in your faith, you grow in understanding. As you grow in understanding, instead of, you know, complaining against that person, you learn how to pray for them. And then what the understanding that God gave me is that I don't know what this person is going through. I don't know what's happening in her life or his life. I don't know the problems that he or she is facing. Now, if you have that kind of mindset, and even though they don't smile at you or give the service that you want them to give because you pay for something, what, the dollar menu? And you say, I'm sorry. So instead of getting mad at them, you try to understand them and say, maybe they're just going through something in life. And this can affect also in your family, with your wife and with your husband, that you learn to understand each other first so that it will, you know, so that you will have this ability to really show love to one another, that in spite of the things that is just
happening or what they said to you, you're not going to take it personally. But you're going to allow God's love to dwell in your heart and understand them. And I think that's how God is to us. You know the reason why I believe that God is so patient with us? Because He understands all the struggles that we go through in life. And as we do the same to others, we are being Christ-like to them. Amen? Sin may bring pleasure in a moment, but its purpose is to inflict pain in your life and others. I'm going to say amen to that. The good news is that believing in Jesus and abiding in His word will help us live in the truth of who we are in Him. That we are forgiven. That we are loved by Him. That He is not against us, but He is for us. Slowly but surely changing the way we see ourselves in our situation. Seeing life not from the perspective of our defeated past, but from the perspective of the victorious cross of Jesus Christ. Let me inject some truth in your spiritual veins this morning from God's word that will bring healing from the pain of the past so that you can live a life with freedom in the present and grab a hold of the bright future that we have in Christ Jesus. Do you want me to read some scriptures to you? All right, okay. Can I inject some spiritual truth in your veins this morning? Amen? Praise God. All right. 1 Peter 2:24. Look at this one. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Amen. If you are in Christ Jesus, then you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Romans 8, verse 1 to 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you are in Christ Jesus, therefore there is now no condemnation. I don't care what you have done in the past. I don't care how your life was before. If you have given your life to Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. You don't need to feel guilty. You don't need to. The problem is this. Why are we allowing ourselves to suffer for the things that we have done in the past that is not happening anymore? Why are you allowing a situation that was only meant to hurt you once still hurt you today? And if you believe in God's word, if you know the newness that you have in Christ Jesus, you will have the ability, the power, and the grace to move on from where you were, and to be in the place where God wants you to be and fulfill the blessings and fulfill the purpose and the plans that God has for you. So therefore, your life is not wasted by dwelling in the past. Because let me tell you this, there is no future in the past. Amen. The more that we grow in trusting in Jesus, the more we find ourselves abiding in His word. The more that we abide in His word, the more we find ourselves living out the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus, affecting the way we think, healing our emotions, and changing our behavior. Therefore, experiencing what I call the peace of God, which produces wholeness and inner healing. Amen? Wholeness and inner healing, giving us freedom to receive God's forgiveness and the grace to forgive others, and freedom from guilt and shame. Amen. If you know for a fact that you are forgiven by God, you'll be surprised and you accept it and you receive it. And if you know for a fact that you are forgiven by Him because you have confessed it to Him and you gave your life to Jesus, you know what happens? God will give you the ability and the strength to forgive others. That will set you free from bitterness, that will set you free from anger, from all these things that you're holding on to that is not worth holding on to. Amen. Which actually gives you the peace of God, which produces wholeness and healing. Knowing the truth will not only free us from the consequences of sin and death and from the effects of sin, it will also set us free, this is my last point, from the hold of sin. I call this the grace of God or deliverance. Titus 2 verse 11 to 14, let me read this for you. For the grace of God that has appeared that offers salvation to all people teaches us to say what? No to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all the wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. There was this story, funny story. On a Sunday morning, a cop in a small town saw a car swerving all over the road. When he pulled him over, he recognized his friend named Frank. Not this Frank, but his name is Frank. Okay, not Pastor Frank. Okay. So Frank was swerving all over the road, and the police said to him, pulled him over, say, hey Frank, why are you swerving all over the road? And Frank answered, oh, I'm just trying to get to church, man. And the cop saw a bottle on the seat beside the driver. A bottle. And the cop said, what's that on your seat, Frank? And Frank replied, oh, it's just water. Give it to me. And when the cop saw it, that's not water, that's wine. Frank looked up to the heavens and said, praise the Lord, he turned my water into wine. Hey, you still got a ticket for DUI though, okay, so... Instead of excusing and abusing sin, we need to expose and dispose it. Knowing the truth by believing in Jesus and abiding in His Word will help us depend on God's grace to overcome sinful desires, attitudes, and habits. By God's grace, meaning by trusting in God's wisdom, power, and authority to overcome, we can recognize and be honest with ourselves with what sin can truly do in a person's life. Knowing the truth will help you grow in discerning what's from God and what's not from Him. So instead of being deceived and manipulated by its lies, like reasoning, you know, like the reasoning that you hear in your mind to excuse yourself to give in to sin. We've done that before, you know. We give all the excuses like, nobody will know and see. How about this one? It is just a one-time thing. Or how about this one? You are not hurting anyone. Or how about this one? Others have done it, especially the pastor. Oh, God. No, not in this church, okay? I'm just joking. How about the most common one of all? The excuse that we give so that we can give in to sin. Oh, just repent later. Such an excuse, right? By God's grace, you will allow God's truth to teach you and empower you to say no to sin. Let me say this to you. Sin can really hurt your life. Sin is pleasurable in the moment, but it can really destroy your life. When you are exposed to the truth of God's word, instead of allowing your emotions to make the decisions for you, because you think it will make you feel good, you allow the truth of God's word to make the decisions for you and allow those emotions to be controlled, because you know for a fact that feelings can come and go. The Bible tells us that the heart is the most deceitful of all things. If our hearts are not submitted to the very truth of God's word, guess what? Your emotions will be all over the place. And you will find yourself given in to things that are destructive, that will destroy your family, whether it's adultery, whether it's pornography. Something happened in the house and your wife and your husband fighting. And lo and behold, you get to the office and you see this one girl with the eyelashes as long as the River Nile says to you, hi. Why you guys are laughing? That happened to you, huh? And I'm just joking. Did you know that most adulterous relationships starts in the workplace?
Because you spend 8 hours of your time there. Now, if your heart is not submitted to the truth of God's word, you can easily be deceived, because if you are having or going through a bad day, you can make one stupid decision that will ruin your life. That's why we need to submit to the truth of God's word and allow His truth to control our emotion. I'm not saying not to feel it. All of us will feel something because we are emotional beings. But what I'm trying to say is that you can recognize what's from God and what's not from God, and allow His truth to direct you and guide you, and you'll find yourself overcoming sinful habits, attitudes. Amen. Let me say this to you. It is only by God's grace that we can do it. Let me say amen to that. We cannot do it on our own. I'm not saying that you will not, you know, all of us in this world, while we're still alert because of our sinful nature, we'll still sin once in a while, but it's not that we desire to sin anymore. In other words, you'll find yourself sinning less. You're not going to be sinless, but you'll find yourself sinning less the more that you grow in the knowledge of who God is. Amen? Amen. And lastly, to live for God and to fulfill His purpose. You see, we can never really fulfill God's purpose for our lives if we are in sin. It's going to be hard for us to know the plans that God has for our lives and the blessings that He wants to, you know, give us or flow through us if we are engaging in things that we know for a fact that is not pleasing before God. And we need to really be in tune with what God wants us to say. I have good news for you. Like what the big idea says today, to believe in Jesus and to abide in His word continually is to know the truth that brings freedom from the bondage of sin. From the bondage of sin. Can you close your eyes for a moment, bow down your heads? The starting point is, what I said earlier, to know the truth is to believe in Jesus. To know the truth is to abide in His word. Two things. That's the starting point. To know the truth that sets us free, we need to know Jesus or believe in Jesus and to abide in His word. Then we can overcome or set free from the consequence of sin, the effects of sin, and the hold of sin in our lives.